Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast. I am Abby.
I am Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
We are deep diving every single episode of the series Grey's Anatomy. We're currently in season 7, episode 13, 14, and we're just working our way through, and we're talking about spoilers. So if you haven't seen the whole show, just be warned.
Spoiler alert.
We should whisper it every time we say it.
If you want to support the podcast, we have had so many new patrons
recently. Yeah, we had a ton.
So thank you to all of you for joining Patreon. If you don't know what that is, it's a little website called Patreon. You can find us there at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can either be an intern, resident, or attending, and you get things for donating to the podcast.
Yeah, so for just $2 a month, you get access to our show notes that we post on the day the episode airs, so you can read our ridiculous note-taking skills. You also get access to the Facebook group. $5, you get bonus episodes once a month, which last month we did the one where we predicted our thoughts before the season premiere. So that's really fun if you're like also watching current Grays. That's usually the time that we would talk about what's happening
right in
current Grays. You also can call in and leave time of death stamps, which no one's done yet, but yeah. I really want to use that.
Should do it.
And then with $10 a month, we are going to be scheduling our co-hosts. We do that every few times throughout the year to try to get everyone in, where you can actually be on the podcast and talk to us. You also get access to our once a month Zoom meeting where we go like on a video chat live with everyone. It's so much fun. If you see people post in the Facebook group and you're wondering how they all know each other, it's usually through those, I feel like.
Yes.
Also, what else is there?
You
can leave a voicemail and get our phone number. Leave us text messages that we can talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Lots of great things.
And we're working.
Oh, if you get the episode a day early. If you like are just really wanting some content early.
Yeah.
Become an attending.
Yeah, do that. We're also working towards a goal to be able to record what we want to call our post-op episodes, where instead of hitting stop like we normally do for patrons, they would get the next like 10 minutes or so, which usually is ridiculous. And we're sometimes still continuing our conversation or something totally random gets brought up.
Yes.
No promises on if it's Grays related or not, but it will be Bree and Abby related.
Yes, it will be some type of banter.
Yeah, so you can see that goal on our Patreon page, and we'd love for you to check it out and support us.
The other way that you can support us is leave a 5-scalpel review. We've gotten quite a few more reviews recently, so thank you again to anyone who's left a review, and Abby's going to read one now.
And this is on iTunes, and there's stars if you're unsure if you're listening for the first time. This one is by Miss Elvia, and it says, "Instantly obsessed. Started this podcast this week. This is only my third time watching Grays from start to finish." Wait, that's how you know it's a true Grays fan, when they say, only my third time.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so great. I love how it feels like I'm just chatting with my best friends. Like Abby, I too am a sucker for nostalgia, so I love when the girls talk about things from the 2000s. AIM, Freak Dancing, Harry Potter, Johnny Depp. Love all the segments and how fun this show is. I always have a good laugh and just feel generally good when I listen to it. I pour my wine and listen. Highly recommend whether you're watching for the first time or the 30th. LOL.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know. I love
that. Thank you.
Another way you can support the podcast, and this is for our listeners who have tried. So in the past, we've been sponsored by A-Day, which is a really cool women's clothing brand. They have a coupon code for 20% off your first purchase. And our previous code in previous episodes is no longer active. So if you're trying to use that one, please don't. Our new code is The On Call Room.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yep. And you can check out their stuff at www.thisisaday.com. They're an incredible women-run clothing line that is basically trying to create like a minimalist wardrobe. So if you're someone that wants to find the things you like and then have good quality pieces and not have to go shop like at random places every time you don't know what to wear, you can have these really beautiful pieces that you can wear forever and ever. I just love that they're women run. I love that they're ethical and that their stuff is all like made out of like recycled water bottles and all of that good stuff. So Bree and I are actually getting these two shirts mailed to us soon that we're going to be like talking about, and maybe we'll post a dumb video or something. Unless Watch we out. Don't look good, but we're going to look
great. We're going to look so good.
So if you want 20% off, go to www.thisisaday.com. And use the code TheOnCallRoom at checkout.
Perfect.
Yeah. And lastly, if you have any thoughts or you want to, and you aren't a patron. Oh my God.
Patron.
I'll never get it right. Just it's like okay. I'll never get resident attending right. You can email
I will never be satisfied.
We haven't talked about Hamilton in so long.
I know.
You can go to www.theoncallroompod.com and fill out a form there and we'll get your thoughts.
Perfect.
Say hi to us. We love you. We'll be right back. Bree's going to eat dinner and then we're going to record. Okay.
So we have a lot to talk about.
Bree and I haven't seen each other in a long time.
Yeah. Where have you been?
I was in Italy. Italy.
That was terrible.
I know. I don't know how to speak Italian. I know how to say grazie. I know how to say...
Ciao bella.
Ciao. That's my favorite thing about the language is that that means hi or bye. It's like ciao.
You can say that in French too. And it Ooh, means hi it? Or bye.
Ciao?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, no. Ciao just means bye. In French.
What's the Wait. American of that? What's that?
What's that? Do you say that as bye too?
Yeah.
No.
What's that?
Like, I don't know. Don't There's not one.
I know. It was great.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's my.
That's how I greet people. I'm sorry.
And then I leave.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks. Ciao.
Ciao. It was wonderful. We went with the same big group of people. It was great. I don't know. What do you want me to say about it? We went to Rome. Here's a funny story. We toured the Vatican, which I'd never done before. Uh-huh. And it was really cool. The art was amazing. I'm just like not one with tour. Like we had a physical person tour guide. And I can only be zoned into what they're saying for so long. And then I'm just like, I just want to walk around and like look.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're outside in this beautiful courtyard area, like learning. So they like, when you're in the Sistine Chapel, you're not supposed to talk, although no one listens. And it's like, it could be a very beautiful experience, but you're not supposed to take pictures. You're not supposed to talk, but literally everyone
is doing
does that.
Yeah.
So, hi Marge. Well, she mowed at me. So we're learning about the Sistine Chapel outside of it, and like by these big posters so that your tour guide can like point to stuff to tell you to look for it. And my dad, who has like kind of a bad back, is sitting. He has this like little like cane that turns into a chair.
Uh-huh.
And he was sitting on it like right behind Jake. And I'm kind of next to my dad. And I see something happen in front of me, but I was like, what was that? And Jake turns around and on his shirt is like, I'm not kidding you, like a 6-inch, maybe 1.5-inch wide, lime green bird shit. And he was wearing a pristine white button down.
No.
Like he looked, I literally took a photo of him that morning. So like, you look so handsome and you're dressed so nice. We're going to the Vatican. Like he was very excited about this. And he turns around and my dad just goes like kind of loud because my dad sucks at whispering. He was just like, you got shit on, kid.
Oh my God.
Or wait, no, he goes, a bird shit on you, kid.
Oh, this was on Jake.
Yes, on Jake.
Oh, no.
And so Jake turns around and just like, oh. And I was like, oh my God. I went into complete, like, I know if I'm ever a mom someday, I will handle shit because like.
It literally handle shit.
Yes, yes. I literally just like took off running in search of like something to clean him. Like, I didn't even react. I just was like, wah. And like. Ended up putting my hand in a trash can to find a napkin because I didn't know what to
do.
Yeah. And so found one. And like,
this is why you should always have a hanky on you.
Yes. Well, then by the time I came back, two of the people on our tour did have them. So I don't know why I didn't think
stuck your hand in a trash can.
It was like going to wipe him up with trash. But anyways, he was
trash wearing, for trash, baby.
Yeah. And it was just lime green. And it was like, we got like, Well, no. I mean, we'd got the chunks off, but it was still like the biggest stain you'd ever seen. And he didn't have anything to change into. And it was just like...
So he just went shirtless in the Vatican.
Yeah, which is illegal. No, and like the tour guide was just like, okay, well, she just kept talking. And I was like, he just got shit on, like so big. And it was hilarious. And we were all dying laughing.
Did he feel really sad?
He did.
Did everyone laugh? And did you laugh?
Yes.
Did everyone laugh?
But just the fact that then he started laughing because of the way he's like, he said he felt like a tug on his shirt.
Yeah.
Because it was that big of a shit that it felt like.
Oh my God.
And then he turned and all he saw was my dad sitting in this chair going, you got shit on, kid. Oh not even like, oh no, hey, you, but just like, hey, this just happened.
Oh my God.
It missed his head. It missed my dad and me by like inches. I don't know. I'm glad it's not on your head, babe. And he was like, I wish it was. I could have washed it off.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah. So anyways, he doesn't know if that's good luck. Marge is like in your plants.
What is happening?
So much. He didn't know if it's good luck to be shit on by a bird in the, a holy bird.
Maybe, but why was it lime green?
Well, because I think those birds were, it was like these seagull birds.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're eating the grass.
Oh.
I hope so. I don't know. It was weird. So then we went into like, you know, this holy place and Jake had poop on him.
Poor Jake. That is like one of my biggest fears maybe is just having to walk around with bird shit on me.
I was glad him and not me because I wouldn't have taken it as well.
Yeah.
And I was also wearing a pristine white shirt. And
yeah.
So I was like, ooh, sucks to be you. But yeah, it was like cool. I don't know. Oh, we went to Pompeii.
Yeah.
Which has been on my bucket list for years. It was amazing. Here are two things I will say.
Okay.
One is I hyped it up too much in my mind.
Okay.
I thought there were bodies like all over the place.
Okay.
Like I thought, like I knew they had been like they poured plaster into them. They're like these molds. And I figured they'd be like enclosed. But I thought there was like a bunch and that they were just like in the spots they found them. Turns out that's very incorrect. There are three there, or four.
Okay.
And all the bodies were like not, they were like found by the water because people tried to like escape.
Right.
And then didn't, like they weren't all found like in their homes. Like a lot of them were, but not. And also like a lot of the bodies that they found and like have preserved are in museums around the world.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I was like.
But like I'm on your team here and I would think the same thing.
Yeah. So I was like. During the tour, like, they're like, look, the Roman aqueducts. Look, these are there. And you're like, cool, piping. And they were very smart. I get it.
Yeah. Where are the bodies? Show me the bodies.
And like, it's this huge town. So like, I wish, again, we had a tour guide. I wish it had just been free time because I could have explored for a long time.
Yeah. They probably don't want you doing that.
No, you can do that. Our group had hired a tour guide, which is great because I learned a lot. But I didn't, like, I imagine my dream day within it would be, like, you and me just wherever we want to go.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Shit. But, like, so the bodies were at the end, and they were in glass cases far away from me. Like, they were in this thing.
Mm.
And they were the ones I'd seen in, like, my art history class.
Oh, yeah, like in a textbook?
So I was like, oh, I saw these.
Yeah, I'm seeing them in person. I wanted lots of bodies. Yeah, like, in a hut.
So I think I need to go to that science exhibit, the like bodies one.
Oh yeah, like
that's
the bodies. Yeah.
That's more suited to me.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was like, I mean, the Romans were smart.
So how many people
23 got
stuck? Yeah.
I don't even know. Everyone that lived there.
Oh.
And so it was crazy too, because before the volcano erupted, it was like the town was like on the water, like the ocean or the Amalfi, whatever that is. I don't know what
coast.
Yeah, it was like right up to it. And so they all ran towards the water, but then like the lava ever came. But the whole landscape has changed since then. So the sea is like miles and miles and miles away now because it like so
right.
Yeah, so which is crazy. But apparently they died because it was like 165 mile per hour wind at like some insane temperature. I don't even remember what. Cooked them like came rushing in and just like cooked them from the inside out.
So you did learn a lot from the tour.
Yeah. And I learned that it's like the Amsterdam of Rome, the Roman area, because it was like a town people traveled through. So like, it's kind of a wild town. Like they had this, of course, we're such stupid Americans. We're like, show us the brothel. And there's like a brothel, which is actually really sad because they were like sex slaves. But because everyone spoke different languages that came there to choose what service you wanted, they had like basically these paintings, which are still up on the walls because they were like al fresco or it's, I don't know, whatever. of like a menu of servicing.
Whoa.
So like weird erotic paintings.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting. The beds were stone. I'm assuming they put some sort of pad on them. But
I would have.
And yeah. Either those people were really short or those beds are small. I think people were shorter back then.
I think they were shorter back then.
But yeah. Like stone beds. I have pictures of them. I'll show you one. But yeah, so it was, I'll pull it up later. It was wild. So I did more than that.
That was all. That was all she did, ladies and gentlemen.
We were in Sorrento. If anyone wants to like know where to go, go to Sorrento. It was magical. It was on the coast. Went on boat days, like ate good seafood, swam in the Mediterranean. Jake got stung by jellyfish.
He did?
I didn't get to pee on him. I wanted to so bad. It wasn't that bad. Oh. They just put cream on it.
Stupid.
But then we got out and I saw the jellyfish and I was like, that was the last time we went swimming. And I was like, thank God, because I would never go in again. There were so many of them.
Oh.
Like little.
Ooh.
Yeah. Scary. And then we went to like Siena area. Went to Montepulciano, Montalcino, Siena, and like went to wineries. I ordered so much wine that I'm going to share with you.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, so it will be shipped to you?
Yes. Yeah, so by the time you are done with the tasting, you're drunk. And that's
so you're ordering shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, Jake, we need like a case of this. And it's like shipping is €100. And you're like, it's fine.
We'll have a card.
The worst is my dad and I kept being like, oh, I'll get a half. And like, and then like now I'm like, I have no idea. I think he owes me money, but I don't think he's ever going to pay me. And like, so, but it's going to be good. It was really fun. It was the most beautiful place ever. If you care about photos of Italy, I'm going to do a blog post soon. And then you can look on my personal Instagram. So.
Which is?
Abby Elmore. There's an L in there.
That's your personal one?
It'll be on that one. Yeah. There's also like a highlight on my Instagram page if you feel like looking at my stories, because I wanted to save it for myself. So you can look at that there. It was really fun. It was great. I'd like to go on a vacation with you sometime again.
Yeah, I would love that.
To work.
Yeah, it would be great. I am. So what was your very favorite part? Your very favorite part?
It's like a two-parter. One is like the boat days are always my favorite. But I could be on Lake Michigan or I could be on the Amalfi. Like, it doesn't
matter.
I just love being on the water.
Yeah.
And the boat that we went on last time when we were there. And it's like this big, like the top is just mattress pads, basically. Like, it's big, flat, and like everyone can hang out. So we just like DJ and like
hang.
Drink. And yeah, it was great. And I would say, I'm trying to pick something that isn't as, I don't know. That's probably my favorite time. Also just like being like at night, we ate dinner together every night at like one big long table.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun. And then we would like go up to this like lookout spot and the guys would smoke cigars. And like, I would actually start drinking water because I was so full and couldn't fit anything more in me. But it was just great.
Like, well, we chatted a couple times on FaceTime while you were there and you said you never got hungover.
No, because I couldn't get drunk because I ate 40,000 calories a day.
That's amazing.
Of pure carbs. Listeners, I still, like, I think I had, eventually, like, 6 days in, I took a laxative because I had consumed more food than I had in a month here in the States and hadn't gone to the bathroom.
Which is terrible.
Took a laxative. It exited me.
The demon was gone.
It was great and terrible all at once. It was so hot. That's all I remember. The bathroom I was in was so hot. And the toilet seats, wait, I will say this. The toilet seats there, I don't know if they don't believe in comfort or they don't care, but you know how we have, like, the thicker seat so that your ass is like sitting on something.
Yeah.
They have like what I kept being like, oh, the seat must be up. And like, no, that's just what it's like. So it's not even comfortable. I either am falling in or it's like right on my tailbone.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So at one point the time I took the laxative, I sat sideways on the toilet.
Oh, that sounds kind of like a smart idea.
Because it was comfier. But yeah, and I used a trash can to put my feet on. So that's not like a great image. So yeah, that was the one time. And then I took a half a laxative later. So I pooped twice in 10 days.
That is out of control.
And then
that's
still
not normal.
I know. And then it's still been messed up. So last night I took, not a lot, but like a thing that is for that issue to like help me out.
Yeah.
Because I'm like I don't think I ate a vegetable for a month. And so turns out your body can't do what it needs to do on
needs
wine
that.
And pasta.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I ate tomatoes because they were in the sauce.
But that's it.
Or like a leaf of basil, if that even counts. The best food I had, this is what I'll end on, was the chef at the second place we stayed at was on Hell's Kitchen Italy. She was like a contestant.
Oh.
She didn't win. And she made, because they have truffles there, like that they hunt for, like truffle mushrooms. She made a truffle ravioli that is my phone background. It was like.
It's your phone background.
Brie, it was like usually in the US when you get truffle anything, it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I don't really like it.
I know you. Okay, well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say you just get like a little bit, like a peppering. Marge, I have to put you down. Do I just pick her up?
Yeah.
Does she have a sore?
No. She's, I mean, she might. She's fine.
Okay, wow. I picked up a cat.
Wow.
Made me nervous. Yeah. I didn't ask for her consent. but you just get like a dusting of truffle, but this was like slices of truffle mushroom.
And so if you like truffle.
It was it's so fucking good. I like almost cried while eating it. I ate so slowly because I was like, I will. And then when she came back around, I was like, anyone want to? I was like, yes, I'm full, but like I will never eat this again. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that was the best part.
The truffle ravioli.
Yeah, I would pick that over any day. Just give me that dinner and I'm good. Tell me about, what were your 10 days? What did you do?
You know, I blacked out. I don't know. It's just not the same with you, not around.
You fell in love.
I fell in love.
With a podcaster.
Oh. Ooh.
You don't have to talk about it.
I will just say that I had a specific dream about Dax Shepard and I texted Abby about it. And I like woke up and I like
March. She just took the loop off this camera strap and grabbed it.
Oh my God.
Okay, she's good. Sorry.
And I like couldn't stop thinking about him. And I texted Abby. I was like, it's like I miss him? It was really weird. And so what I realized was I had been listening to a lot of his podcast, and I had listened to it quite a bit, but like, I don't know, I just listening to a lot of it. And what ends up happening is you feel like you know them.
Or you feel like you're having these conversations.
Right, right, yeah. Like, I feel like he's my friend.
Right.
And like, he's from Michigan.
Right.
So, like,
they've been bringing up Michigan a lot too in the beginning.
Yeah, and so I was just like, we really get each other, and he like thinks I'm funny. And I was like, wait, he doesn't know me. It was like kind of an Orlando Bloom situation again. It was really weird. So I was texting Abby about that.
I got it and I understood.
Yeah, it's.
And you said that he's your new Orlando Bloom.
I think he is. I don't know why. Well, but then, okay, so then I went down this huge rabbit hole and was like on his Instagram. And then I was like looking at photos of him online. He is not a good dresser.
No, he dresses weird.
He dresses really weird. And he's actually not that cute.
March. She's rubbing into the microphone. What do I do? Okay, it's taken care of.
Okay.
We put Marge away. Just kidding. She's with John.
We put her away.
It was just a funny text exchange. And I feel like everyone should have a friend that you're allowed to share your.
Oh, well, no, I was just. With. Oh, but yeah, I was looking at the photo. He's not. Like, he makes really weird faces.
Yeah.
And I can tell that maybe he's like, he's not trying to make that. I don't know.
I think he tries really hard.
Yeah.
It's weird. I
just want to talk to him.
He's got a weird hair situation going on sometimes too, but
yeah.
We don't want him to know this because we want him to be friends with us. So.
I am absolutely in love with him.
Oh, it's so good. It's just the fact that the conversation ended with Brie going, and I miss him.
I miss him. That was the weirdest part was I woke up from this dream and I was like, I really miss him. Like, I was like, I don't even know this person. How can I miss someone that I don't even know? But like, it was like that longing feeling for him.
Must have been a great dream.
Yeah, it was a really great dream. Anyway. Also, I told Abby that I am like almost done with Goblet of Fire.
Yes, guys, she's in the Barty Crouch chapter. What's it called?
I don't know.
You don't look at the chapter names?
Well, yeah, but I don't remember
which
one I'm on.
She's almost to the graveyard, which is.
I'm almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well,
when I said that, the graveyard is the name of the chapter.
Oh.
But yeah.
But I know what happened.
Also, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's almost there. She's like doing it.
Yeah. And when you left, I was like.
Not that far.
No, I was probably like. 100, 200 pages in.
Right.
So I've done work.
I asked her if she was into these later books a little more than the earlier ones. And
I said, yes, I still feel like the beginning of each of the books is really boring.
Okay.
And so that's why I think it took me so long to like, I've been reading Goblet of Fire for a long time, but it's because I couldn't get past the beginning. I just want to deal with what's... Yeah. I just wanted to deal with when we're at Hogwarts. Yep. Like, I don't care about any of that other fucking bullshit in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, this Quidditch thing and, like...
So scary, though.
Yeah, it's scary, but I was like, let's move along.
How do you feel about, like, so all of the different characters in this book that aren't in the movies? Like, Winky, Ludo Bagman.
I wondered... I was trying to think of in my head what they looked like, and I couldn't because I don't know who
they
are. This
is the worst movie to book adaptation.
Okay.
They completely, because I mean, it's a very detailed book, and they swept a lot of it out.
Okay, that makes me feel better because I was like, wait, I don't remember this person.
Yeah, the whole story is totally fucked because of that. And also, I will tell you that I feel like if you can get through this book, this is when the real story starts. Like, you had to get through all of the past and, like, setting the scene. And, like, now shit is, like...
about to get fucked.
Right. Like, shit is really happening. And even though you're over halfway in book sense, as far as pages go, you're, like, about halfway. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's so much more to go. So
right.
You're in the good... You made it.
I've made it.
Yeah.
I, like, am looking down, though, at the bookshelf of, like, the other three books. And I'm like, fuck, they're so big.
But that's... But like I said, there's less of that, like, meh, you know, crap. The only thing in the next book is I hate that Professor Umbridge.
Yeah.
Like, if you hated her in the movies, she's just...
even worse
than
that.
Like, you're just hate her in the books.
Yeah.
But the fifth book's my favorite, as of last reread. So.
Well, but I thought you said he was super angsty.
He is. He's angry, but I like it.
Oh.
Because it's like being a teenager. Remember how, like...
Ugh. Yeah, it's super angsty.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll keep you all updated, but that's pretty much what I've been doing.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And I have a cold now, so.
You're being in great spirits for having a cold.
You know, just try it.
This is like a news about Jake, but he passed his EMT test.
Which is incredible news.
Yeah, so my husband can now apply to work on an ambulance, which is great.
Crazy.
I can have any health problem happen, not any.
I can have any health problem.
I can cut my finger in the kitchen and he will hopefully know what to do with it.
That is very true.
Or he can do CPR.
I should learn.
I feel safe about this.
Yeah, I feel safe.
I feel like I can live more recklessly now.
Yeah. That's important to know how to do. I do not know how to perform CPR.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's exciting. I don't know. That's all.
Yeah. It's nice to be recording with you again.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Beautiful day to podcast.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Should we take a break and get into the episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Motorcycle. Cue the motorcycles.
Jesus.
All right. So we've got season 7, episode 13 and 14. Don't Deceive Me, Please Don't Go, and PYT, Pretty Young Thing. Both songs have parentheses.
Yeah.
do you want to, which monologue do you want to
Speaking of PYT, have you watched the documentary?
No, not yet.
Dude, it's
I mean, I'm
sad.
Going to, but.
I can't.
I know.
Anymore.
I know. I heard a good thing that was like, and maybe it was actually on an Armchair Episode podcast. I think it was.
Dax talked about it.
Did you listen to the Joseph
book? Yeah.
Like that, you can appreciate.
But I just can't.
Well, no, mine is like. I will still honor if I have a personal memory attached to a song. Like, I'm not going to get rid of my memory that I have. Like, I did once a dance class to this and I have to remember. Like, so I'm not saying that I'm going to listen to it nonstop. But if I hear it, I don't know. I'm not at a wedding. I'm not going to get mad that they're playing this
song. Sure. No, I don't think you can get mad if it's on the radio. But like, I don't know. Once I watched the documentary, I was like, I can't. Imagine myself putting it on a Spotify playlist.
Right.
Like
right,
me personally choosing to do that after. Like,
right. I feel the same way.
So
I did end my wedding to that one song.
I know.
So that's what I guess I'm speaking to, like, I'm not going to let that ruin that memory.
Oh,
for
sure.
Me.
No, you can't.
Does that make sense? Like, if that song comes on, I'm going to choose to think about my wedding night, not the song itself.
Right, and who the person behind the song.
But I'm not going to do that to all of his, like, just the ones that I already have a personal attachment to. Anyways, I already just forgot that I had that song. Okay, great. Now I'm in a bad mood.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, which monologue do you want to read? The first one?
Sure.
Okay.
Doctors practice deception all of the time. We give vague answers to hard questions. We don't talk about post-op pain. We say you'll experience some discomfort. If you didn't die, we tell you the surgery went well. But the placebo has to be the doctor's greatest deception. Half of our patients, we tell the truth. The other half, we pray that the placebo effect's real. And we tell ourselves that they'll feel better anyhow. Believing helps on the way. Jesus, when in fact, we're leaving them to die. Doctors practice deception every day on our patients, on their families. But the worst deception we practice is on ourselves, which is why sometimes it takes us a while to realize that the truth has been in front of us the whole time. Meredith Gray.
All right, for PYT. One of the hardest lessons as a doctor is learning to prioritize. We're trained to do all we can to save life and limb, but if cutting off a limb means saving a life, we learn to do it without hesitation. It's not an easy lesson to learn, and it always comes down to one question. What are the stakes? What do we stand to gain or lose? At the end of the day, we're just gamblers trying not to bet the farm. Surgery is a high-stakes game, and no matter how high it stakes, sooner or later, you just have to go with your gut. And maybe, just maybe, that will take you right where you were meant to be in the first place. Meredith Gray. Okie dokie. I guess I'll try shotgun workup.
Go for it.
Okay. We have patient one, John Driscoll, Alzheimer's disease. Martha Elkin, multivessel coronary disease. Daniel Cobb, Alzheimer's disease. Kelly Torres, pregnancy. Victoria, vascular dementia. Anthony Windsor, pseudoaneurysm in splenic artery. Thatcher Gray, kidney stone. Baby Cook, hypoplastic left...
I read that as Baby Cook.
Baby Cook, hypoplastic left heart syndrome. Randy Schaus, bilateral hip dislocations, broken femur, broken radius, broken ribs, broken metacarpals.
Nice job.
Those were all kind of easy.
Yeah, that was good,
okay,
though.
Perfect.
Rounds, we have Callie, Arizona, and Mark hearing the heartbeat. In regards to this, Arizona decides to be all in, so we'll kind of talk about the three of them together. And also how they start treating and controlling Callie. Then we have Mark telling Lexi about the baby. And Jackson kind of gets brought into the picture. We'll talk about that as well. Derek starts his Alzheimer's trial. Mare is back on his team. And she denies a trial that Chief wants to do. Or Weber, I guess. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Chief Resident update. And then we have Lucy, she hates Karev. We'll talk about their dynamic. And then Thatcher's back in the hospital and Lexi addressing her feelings in regards to him.
Perfect. First notes?
Yeah.
Mine is, I recently have bangs. Uh-huh. And I said, why do Mare's bangs look so good
her
in the morning?
Her bangs did look really good.
These two
good.
Episodes, yeah. I was like, do I need shorter bangs?
Yeah, it's because she has a stylist in the morning.
I know. They look so good, though.
Yeah.
They're full and like bouncy.
Yeah. Mine was, God, this is the same alarm that John has, and it is very triggering. The same exact noise. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I can't wake up to that.
It's very rough.
Also, it goes off in like the middle of the night for you? No.
Well, it would go off in the middle of the day.
Okay.
But
when you used to be on the same schedule.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Okay. Which should we talk about first? I feel like the trial or Callie story are like the biggest ones.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk about Thatcher.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Thatchy Thatch.
So this happens in the second episode 14.
Yes.
He comes in and without telling either of his daughters, they find out because Bailey has she comes in and asks questions.
About because he's not providing information or whatever. And
right.
Then they're like, wait, my dad's here?
I actually really liked this. I forgot this happened. Like I had no memory of this. And I don't know. Part of it, I think it brought out some funny things. So, like, I just thought it was, I don't know. I was in a weird mood while watching this episode where I thought everything was funny. And I just loved when he's, like, trying to tell Lexi to calm down because she's freaking out. And first of all, never tell a woman to calm down.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. And she is just the least, and she keeps saying, like, I'm the calmest one here. and I can't believe he's dating that woman.
That's Babe from All My Children, if anyone wants to know. I used to be an All My Children fan. Also, like Sloan, like Little Gray.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, not Little Gray. Little Sloan.
What?
From previous episodes.
Oh.
Sloan's daughter.
Yes.
Is also from All My Children.
Oh, okay. I was like,
so,
wait, is that
there
her?
You have it. Yeah.
That's funny. I just didn't remember this at all. And I honestly, like, I get that they both have shared experiences. I think her name is Danny, she goes by.
Yeah.
And Thatcher, but I do not. How?
Is this a thing?
They do not look at even remotely like they would go together.
Yeah, and
even if you think of his past wives.
Yeah. It's
like
it's,
Susan was the mommiest of moms.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I don't know. And her just being like, we're good for each other. I mean, sure. Like,
yeah. It was just weird. Good.
Yeah.
I
it's
love
very much a midlife crisis thing.
Yes, and she said that. She kept like yelling that about her. But I love when she says to Bailey, Bailey comes in and she's like, and this is my father's girlfriend who I've just met now. And like, I just thought the way Bailey, like her facial expressions in all of these scenes and the way like Lexi's face then when she starts talking about sex.
Oh my God, that was fun. I thought that was really funny when Danny or whatever her name was, you know, talking to Bailey and turns to Lexi and was like, you might not want to be here for this. And she's like, no, it's like, it's fine. I'm a doctor, you know? And then she's like, well, we were being intimate and I was on top. And her Lexi squirming out of the room was very funny.
Yeah, she like makes noises.
And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then leaves. And then it cuts to Bailey who just goes, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
I think I just, this was a, Lexi was like peak Lexi in these ones.
Yeah.
And just the way, I loved what it did for her and Meredith, which we'll talk about. I'm just like going down through my nose, or my, I read the word nose, which we'll talk about. That nose job needs an entire new topic because that was so gross. Let's see, what else did I have to say about this?
I mean, pretty much ultimately in this episode, like Lexi is not okay. Like she's not okay about the Mark thing. I think, like, she talks to Avery about, like, she's being left behind.
Yeah.
And so I think also she probably feels that in a little bit in regards to her dad. Like,
right.
You know, he is in a relationship. He's moving on and she's being left behind.
Yeah, that like, speech that she was giving to Jackson was really sad. I wrote some quotes. Yeah, it said, he didn't even ask my opinion. Oh, this was about Mark. But
yeah.
I feel like it could also, again, go like her go with her dad, like you said. He didn't even ask my opinion. He just clobbered me. He's leaving me behind again. And like, yeah, you're right. It's like perfectly mirroring that.
Yes.
I also feel like it's the first time for Lexi that her parent has like now been with someone else. Like Meredith has already like seen that. And I just think for any kid, it's weird when your parents start dating. Like I can speak to, it's just super weird.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter who it is.
Or what age you are.
You're not really on board. You
yeah.
Because it's like a weird change.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes I think we forget our parents are like.
Humans.
Right. And so when they're doing human things, you're like, what the, no.
What the fuck are you doing?
Right. Exactly.
You have no right.
We also learned, we thought he was rejecting the kidney. Or the liver.
Liver.
Sorry. But he actually just had kidney stones.
Which is good.
Yeah. And I also loved Lexi's, well, before Lexi wants Meredith to go in there with her, which I think is such a funny like thing happening. And Christina's like, yeah, let's go. Like, let's go see. And Christina says to Meredith, you tangle with one Hell's Angel, you tangle with the gang. There are so many funny one-liners in this.
I didn't hear that.
Oh,
that's
it was
funny.
Just really comical. Cause they kept calling her, she kept calling her a slut with tattoos or the slutty tattooed person. And then she did have like,
she had like a hooker on her arm.
Yeah.
Tattooed.
Yeah.
She was drunk.
She
it's
also
fine.
Gave
She's
the,
sober now.
The speech to Danny. Cause they were thinking she freaks out and starts singing it's cancer, you know? And Lexi says to her, that's what happens when you date an old man. Old men get cancer. It was just great. She was off the rails and I was
she like
it.
Freaks out at her too when she like tells her to get back, when she says back the hell up.
Yeah.
Right yeah. now. Yeah. Which also is kind of true. Like, I know Lexi didn't behave probably in the most appropriate way there, but also like, she was in the doctor's way, like being
she's
like.
She's like, tell me what I can do. Tell me. I
he's
need
like, you're not a
me.
Fucking doctor.
No,
get was, out of the fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Also, just because there's like, kind of ties into that with Meredith. When my favorite scene was when they're in lunch together, like in some weird room. And like Karev is like doing the Alzheimer's trial to himself, like asking the questions. And Christina and Mare are going over Meredith's mother's like trial thing. And Jackson is trying to get things out of Lexi. I'm combining a lot of topics, but it will make sense. And Lexi is like, oh, or Meredith says, oh, does he want more organs? Like talking about Thatcher. And Jackson goes, is that upsetting you to Lexi? Like, is that something you'd like to talk about? And then Meredith has the line, I can't deal with my dad. I need to deal with my mom right now. And like, cause she's reading her journals. And I just think it was comical. Anyways. Yeah. So Thatcher is going home with a clean bill of health.
Thatcher is fine. He had kidney stones.
He comes in the hospital a lot.
He is there quite often. Yeah. Yeah. And also, I don't think we ever see this girlfriend again.
No, I don't think so either. I wonder, though, is this the last time we see Thatcher before
he dies?
No, like before he comes. Yeah. Like, does he come on again? Does he drink again? Or is he sober? I can't remember.
I can't either.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Should we talk about, oh God, well, if we talk about Mark, then we have to talk about Callie. What's another short
Chief
one here?
Resident update?
Yeah. So the first episode is when Jackson and Christina are working with Teddy and with that sweet, sweet dear old lady.
Oh, she's so sweet.
There was a couple moments where I got like GGBs.
Yeah. When she was like afraid to like have the surgery because she, like, you know, she wants to be able to just be with her grandchildren or whatever. And I don't know. She was just, she had the sweetest little double chin.
Yeah, she said.
Not little, it was quite large.
It was quite large. Yeah, she was such a good actress for like, playing the sweet old woman. She said, she was looking at all those photos too and she's scared. And then she talks about her kids and she's like, I don't want to be a burden.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that part like just broke me because also like it just sucks that when you get old. Like
you become a burden.
Yeah, and then I loved Christina, even though like, I think part of Christina was doing the, like, being the best caregiver to outdo Jackson. But I also think she just, like she said to Jackson, sometimes I do things because I'm a good doctor.
Yeah.
She said to her, like, you could go to this baby's wedding. And I thought that was, like, so, like, such a good way of putting that for that old woman. Also, that old woman got the best care ever. Like,
oh, yeah.
They should all be like that.
Yeah.
And then what did you think about Christina? Jackson makes the comment about Christina missing time in the OR and then she's like faking it. What did you think of like?
Oh, I.
Did you think she was sad or did you remember that?
I think I remembered, but when Jackson did say that, I did make a note like that was very uncalled for. Like
yeah,
saying
to
that
below
about.
Below the belt.
Yeah, saying that about Christina. It is very funny to me that Christina didn't give a
she
shit.
Just back
yeah. And eats an apple and tells Meredith, like, he's going to be looking for Owen for a long time. He's at the dentist. Which is funny because, like, this scene right before
Owen
we saw Owen, but whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. And at really, first I was, like, really like, wow, that comment brought her. I didn't think her PTSD was like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So.
It was good. It was good on Christina.
I also wanted to point out with Christina and the way, like, she cared for that elderly patient that I think she has a soft spot for elderly people. Because, like, I think about like that old guy who she just helped get the transplant and like then later in seasons like Mr. Feeney, although that's not his name.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like she has more patience and understanding for old people who are like nervous about things or whatever versus like
someone who's younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting observation.
But
I would probably agree.
I loved it. I loved that old lady.
Yeah. We need to talk about Bailey tweeting also.
Yeah, I have that as a whole. Because that and in the next one, the guy making videos for the internet, this is a very like dated, tech heavy. Should we just talk about it?
Yeah, I just want to say that when Chief said he was looking at Bailey's teats on the internet was...
Yeah.
That had me audibly laughing.
Yeah, the whole like, even like, first he called it tweeter early in the episode. Like the way that they had him slightly alter it.
Yeah. And then when he's like, when he says he's looking at Bailey's teats on the internet or whatever, I think he says it to Owen.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I think you mean tweets. And he's like, whatever. And Owen's like, no, you want to like get that right.
Yeah, that was like such a good moment. Also like, yeah, so what a timestamp for this episode.
Because
like Twitter was probably like...
Newer?
Yeah, or like becoming very popular. Like now it's like it's just been around for so long that I think it's a part of normal life. But yeah, that scene was so funny. And he's like typical Chief, just like any of our parents, like just not quite getting the word right.
No.
And not quite understanding
what it is.
Right. Like it's just something. He didn't know how to find it.
And he like he didn't want it in the OR without even knowing what it is. You know, just like, nope.
This, yeah, I don't like this newfangled stuff. Yeah.
But then he ends up loving it. He leans into it. So the tweeting is saving the dude's life.
Right. I loved how Bailey, too, when she's deciding whether or not to tweet, even though like he told her not to, and she says, the man would never know. Like, yeah. She says, like, yeah, just the way she calls him the man. And like, they're all like, April and them are just on board with it. Oh, it was just so funny.
I thought it was really sweet where someone said like that, I don't remember. It was like, last time I was with you, I was a resident. Like, you were my chief.
Yeah.
It's like, nice to be scrubbing, Neil, like scrubbing in with you again or whatever. I was like, oh, like, that's really sweet.
I wrote Chief's response that was, Neil, really? Well, I'll be. That's literally what his response was.
Oh, Chief.
I said his ego loves Twitter.
Yes.
Like, he is ego-driven, kind of.
Oh, and then where he was, like, talking about Alice, and he was just, like, getting super excited.
He's sitting on the chair. Yeah, there's, like, a patient on the table.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. But
also, in the scene when he says teats, he also, Owen starts talking about, yeah, like, you know, GPS used to only be used for the Army, and now everyone uses it. Like, no one goes out without it. And Chief goes, yeah, I don't go out. That was his actual response. Just, like, a lot of this episode made me die laughing.
Oh, God.
I thought it was a little...
I thought it was just funny that, like...
Also, I don't think they ever tweet again.
No. No, that was just, like, in a one episode. I feel like a lot of the things in these episodes, yes, were just, like, a quick little...
For sure.
...thing that we never see again. But, like, you were saying, like, the videotape thing.
Well, yeah.
Like,
last thing on Twitter is Twitter was also only 140 characters then. I think it's 360 now.
They've changed it.
You can tweet longer things. So that was also a time stamp. Yeah, so in the second one, there's the patient that's with... like Callie and Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Owen loves Twitter, but now he's against YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
they don't ever say YouTube, but like these guys...
It's obvious.
...tried to make a human slingshot to fling themselves into a pool.
Yeah, but over he flung into a wall, yeah, instead.
And Owen is like... I says he
very mad.
I says he like war guilts him at the end too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you should only be getting hurt like this if you're in war.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little... too Owen-y for me. I said, why is he calling his patient an idiot? At first, I thought he knew them, but he didn't. He just was literally calling his patient an idiot from the beginning to his face.
Yeah. That's interesting. War guilt, war shaming him. Yeah. Because part of me, like, I think as the viewer, we're supposed to be happy that he does that.
Right.
And I kind of felt that way. But also, yeah, dude, like, you're a doctor. Just like, you don't really get an opinion.
Yes.
Just like save the person or help the person and then
be done. Yeah, because like Callie walks in, he's like, this idiot tried to sleep. And I was like, oh, must be an old friend. And then I was like, oh no, doesn't know him at all.
Yeah, it was actually, yeah, you're right. That's really inappropriate.
It was very like, reminded me of, I wonder if Jackass was really popular at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like literally the same, probably something they did. Also, I loved Jackass.
So did I. I thought it was very funny.
But I bet you it was.
And Viva La Bam or whatever.
Oh, the one they would just like beat up their parents. Remember, like slap.
Terrible.
I think one of them's dead. I think Bam is.
Is Bam dead?
I think, or the dad, or is it the uncle? They all look the same.
No, what? Ryan Dunn is dead.
Right. From
is
Jackass.
Bam.
Is Bam. Is it coming up? I think his dad is, or one of them.
Oh, yeah. No, Ryan Dunn.
But, so Bam.
Ryan Dunn died in a car crash, remember?
But, yeah.
No, Bam is alive.
Bam used to, remember, they would make.
Wait, how did Bam die?
They would dig a hole in their lawn and the dad would be mowing the lawn and fall into like a literal pit. That, or they put an alligator in the kitchen with their mom once.
So stupid. Why did we watch this shit?
I just remember thinking, if I have a child and that child does that shit to me.
Oh, and the mom. I remember the mom. Didn't she have like dark hair? And she was always like, ah!
They would like wake up the dad and just by like slapping him in the middle. I want to watch clips of this now.
Oh,
can this
shoot.
Be a Bam? What was that show? Oh, Viva La Bam.
Viva La Bam.
Oh, so funny.
Oh, no, wait. The mom had blonde hair.
Yeah, she had like short hair.
Yeah, wait, look.
Oh my God, we need to watch this after we record.
Okay.
Keep that up so we don't forget.
Oh, and what was the one dude's name who was really big and he like, fucking gibberish?
He's like the uncle. Yeah. He was like the dad's brother.
Yeah, but he never knew what
Search
he was saying.
Bam's uncle.
I think Phil was the dad. Bam's uncle. Oh no, I'm on images.
Is it him?
Yeah, but I just want. Oh, wait. Bam's uncle. What was his name? Vincent.
Do you have a picture?
Dude, I have a mugshot. Oh, shit. See,
Vincent Margera. Batteries on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Oh
Don God. Vito.
Oh, that's.
That was. Name was Don Vito.
Yeah, but he would like mow the lawn and fall into a pit.
Oh, shoot. Okay, what were we talking about?
Those videos. So anyways, I think that was that era is my point.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, okay. Well, moving on from that. Should we talk about Lucy?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Oof. Oh, the last thing about the chief resident update. Karev is on Derek's service at first for the Alzheimer's trial.
Yes.
And then he will talk, like, realizes Meredith would be better at it, and mm-hmm. he's just not good at it. And I love that at the end, though, he was like, I'm still in the running for chief resident. Tell him that I had the patient's best interest in mind, which is actually a good point. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, that was, like, I think the last part of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lucy, really quick before we talk about her, overall, because I don't remember her storyline that well, do we like her or no?
I don't really have an opinion. She's just like an annoying character. Okay. She's not really in that much. She leaves, like, I feel like very quickly.
At first I thought she was going to be, I couldn't remember if she dates Karev or.
She does.
Right, or Sloan, because in the baby scenes with her, the way she was looking at Sloan, I was like, wait, is it him? But then I was it's Karev.
Yeah.
So Karev is an idiot, calls a baby a turnip.
Yeah, why did he do that?
He just sometimes doesn't think.
Yeah.
The best way I can describe Karev is by what Arizona said when she said, I can teach him to be less of an ass. I don't need to teach him to care.
Yeah, that was a great way
to put it. I feel like that sums up his character.
Yeah, perfectly.
He cares a lot, but he's an asshole.
Yeah. So he, but I don't understand too why he's like, I think he thinks that Lucy's a nurse.
Right, she's wearing a pink, like, thing over her scrubs.
And then realizes that she's the new OB or whatever, and she's going to make Karev's life a living hell.
Yeah, she kicks him out of the NICU, which you can't even do, but she does.
Yeah.
And then doesn't let him in surgery, but blah, blah, blah. Alex ends up sitting in the gallery because he still cares about his patient. They're sitting together and both growing through, like, the emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then he asks her out for a drink, and she says no. But I feel like they had an elevator moment.
They did have an elevator moment. Also, like, I don't know. I felt like Karev was, like, out of control this whole episode.
Yeah,
like, he was off the case, but he, like, shows up and is, like,
yells at those parents.
Yeah, is, like, talking behind the I was just like, Karev, like, cool it. You're out of control.
Why did I write this quote? You're the one who needs
And then he doesn't even really get in trouble. Like, because then, like, Lucy said something, or Arizona says something to Lucy about, like, could you even kick him out of there? And then she's like, no, I don't know. And that's the part where Arizona's like, I'm going to teach him how to
be less of an ass.
Yeah, but I'm like, why isn't he getting in trouble for anything?
For being absurd? I don't know.
I guess he got kicked off the case, but whatever.
I wrote, you're not the one who needs to keep his mouth shut. Oh, that was Christina. Christina says to Alex at lunch, you're the one who needs to keep your mouth shut, Cabbage Patch. But, like, calls him out on his quote, which is great.
The one thing I will say is Lucy's speech about her patient is really sad, where she says, that's how you get a woman to tear her own body apart. You promise her a baby. And I was like, fuck, dude. That's, like, a really great way to explain labor.
Yeah, I wrote that quote down, too. I wrote, yikes.
Yeah.
Because the way she was describing it in 48 hours and then pushing and all she could, I was just like,
I know.
And then tear your body apart.
Yeah.
And then to not have a baby when you come out of it.
And that's why she was really mad at Karev for just, like, because that was her patient.
I do feel like everything that happens to Karev, although his journey is kind of up and down, like, this will shape him moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to now kind of pay attention. Does he still say things like that about patients he doesn't know their story.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, if they've been consistent enough in the writing to, like, this was, a, like, hit him home a little bit. Does
yeah.
he do it less after this?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I also think she's beautiful, Lucy. She got weird hair.
She does have weird hair.
It's, like, overly curly.
Yeah.
Like, fake. But I don't know. I like her, like, strong will.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think she's around for that long.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't really have anything else.
I don't either. I just wanted to.
My one note is pretty much on her is, oh, here's Lucy. I don't really care for her. So there's that.
Perfect. Let's talk about the trial and then we'll get into all the baby stuff.
Okay.
The trial stuff made me so sad.
Dude, Alzheimer's sounds like such a fucking terrible disease.
Yeah, like just the way. The way that they have these actors portraying the people trying to remember the word spoon brings me, it's so simple. And the way they're like the significant other with them, whether it's
like
sibling,
staring.
Yeah. Like, and like trying, and that daughter, she's like, it's okay. And the mom, when she's like, why are we here?
Yeah.
That like broke me a little bit.
I know.
It's just really, I don't know. It's really sad. And I'm glad that Derek has Meredith back on the case because she is the like only one.
Well, and I love that like, Karev is with the patient pretty much the whole first episode. And then he like handles things really well at the end of the episode with the wife of the patient. And Derek like praises Karev and is like, hey, you did a really good job. Like, see, you can do it. And Karev was like, that was all your wife. Like
giving me that advice.
Yeah. This is depressing. I don't want to do this. I'm not good at it. And like your wife is, and you should have her on the trial. And then she gets to be on the trial. I'm really happy.
Yeah. And like, cause I loved when she was talking about how she had to talk to her mom about herpes, is it, or something?
Yeah, or some like chlamydia, something like that.
Yeah, like, and had to act like she was her friend's college friend or her mom's college friend. And I don't know. It was just, I think the way she's going to interact, even when she went to that one, I was like, I'll get Victoria. Who is she? Like,
yeah.
She knew exactly what to do. And I'm just glad she's on it. It's just really sad. It was weird how those like one spouses both had it and then like fell in love.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah, that would suck.
That would suck so bad.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This like, it's a terrible, terrible disease. Oh yeah, it was herpes.
Yeah. And I also really like in that scene too, I think Mare and Alex bond a lot over the fact that they've both been caretakers. Like I think that's something that brings them together. Like Alex just hasn't taken care of someone with Alzheimer's, but he's done other things.
Right, for sure. It was a really like sweet story about her mom. It was like sweet and sad, but she like realized like the best thing that I could do for my mother in that moment was like be her friend.
Yeah. Don't
and
try
it was
to
like,
bring her
oh,
back. Yeah. It's like The Notebook all over again.
Yeah.
I just got really sad at the end of that. I think it's the end of 14 when the mother I just talked about already when she doesn't remember why she's there. I don't know. It's just really. Okay. So let's talk about. So Weber finds in Alice's journals her research on a diabetes, like something that could potentially solve diabetes. He believes Mare has the birthright to this. Also, he feels like some weird redemption story that it'll like help Meredith feel closer to her mom if she finishes her work, which is, I feel like, a Weber thing projecting onto her.
Yeah.
But either way, Christina is even like, this is incredible. Like, she's so smart. Like, you could do this. But Mare hands it over to Weber and decides like, I feel more connected. I love the way she said it. She said, she goes, I realized how scared my mom must have been with Alzheimer's. That's why she wrote everything down, which is like even more eye-opening to think that that's probably why Ellis journaled, not because she liked journaling.
Well, and then too, that she's like, I don't want to finish my mom's work. I just want to solve
her disease.
Yeah. Cure her disease. Which I thought was interesting too, because that is not the course that Meredith ends up taking. She ends up following in her mother's footsteps and does general surgery.
Right.
So I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that right now she's like very interested in neuro, but that's not where she ends up.
Yeah. She also, it was weird. Weber says to her about the trial, it might change the way you think about her. It could be the greatest thing you both ever did. And I feel like that's just him having some like, I don't know. like,
I think that's about cheap.
Yeah, I think so too. I also just wanted to bring up and ask your opinion. We've kind of talked about it before. Like, do you think that, I really hope that someday when this show comes to a close, it circles back to something with Alzheimer's.
I think it will. I think it has to.
Just because I feel like we haven't talked about it much in newer seasons, but it was such, I mean, we're in season 7 and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, he's doing a trial because he's afraid that his wife is going to get Alzheimer's.
Right, like I hope just because Derek died that that doesn't end.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just think it would be a great emotional, horrible, but like real life way for the show to end. Yeah. Don't you think?
I think so. I think she has to have it in the end.
I think so too.
Like, how else would they end this show?
Right. I don't know. Because did she ever take the test? Well,
she did.
But we don't know her results yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
I think she does have the gene.
Yeah. I also was like thinking about this. I was like, man, that sucks. And then I was like, wait, my great grandma had it. Fuck. Yeah. I literally had a moment where I was like,
oh shit.
I'm good. And yeah. I was like, wait, oh no.
Yeah.
Anyways. I guess I would rather just have it happen to me than have it happen to someone I have to take care of.
I guess.
I don't know. Put me in Palm Springs at a pool.
Put me in Palm Springs.
Trying to see if I have anything else on the trial. Other than it's really cute when she tells Derek that she's staying with him. And he's like, yay. Like he like literally pops up. He's like on his computer. I just feel like it was like actual joy because he went from being afraid to having her on it to, I think, I love that he gave her the freedom to choose. Also.
Yeah. I was really sad that Mr. Cobbs got
the placebo. I think, that was the other thing, how random it is. It's going to set up for the finale.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it does suck that it's random.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize they had to do a placebo, but I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because you need like a control group or whatever.
Right. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And I really got scared for a second. Alex was going to like try to.
No, someone else does that.
Right. I know. That's what's kind of terrible. Cool. Anything else with that?
That's all I have.
Okay, great.
Pregnancy stuff.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just start from the beginning.
Yeah.
And kind of, because I feel like it all interlaps, kind of.
Yeah, also, growing like a weed in my uterus.
Yeah, and he says, not like a weed, like a mighty oak. We're going to be great parents.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they like in bed together again, though? And he's,
I think because she came, there? Yeah, she came over to like, because she goes back over to Arizona and is like, are you ready to talk?
Right.
Yeah,
I love that she said, he goes, should we get married? And she goes, oh no.
Yeah, I know. I love that he asks her to get married. I think it's very funny. And then he realizes like, okay, Lexi. Good, because I love Lexi.
Yeah, like immediately.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, Lexi. And like realizes that he did this to her again. Also, we find out she's 2 months pregnant.
Oh, we did?
She says that to Arizona. Like, it's been 2 months.
Yeah.
Something. So,
She's still very mad.
Yes.
She needs a minute, which I think is understandable.
Agreed.
But she doesn't hesitate when saying that she's in. like she's in.
Yep.
So that's a good sign.
Callie also gives Mark the option to be the cool uncle and not the dad.
Yes.
And he's very offended by that.
Very mad. I'm not the cool uncle.
Makes a great point to Derek when he says the cool uncle is fun until you're 13, then becomes the creepy uncle.
That's very true.
It's very true.
I feel really bad for Derek when Mark tells Derek that he's pregnant or they're pregnant. And Derek is like, how is it that Meredith and I have been trying and you look at someone and you get her pregnant?
Right.
You
know? Like he says it sort of lightly, but I think it is a little triggering. Bit more deep rooted than that. Yeah. I also liked the way that he told Derek. He just walks, he's like, Callie's having my baby. And Derek is just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like they don't, when they share news with each other, there's no lead up.
Yeah.
They just, actually, this is how this whole show is. They just blurt things out to people. Like the way April found out Callie was pregnant.
Yeah.
She's like adjusting the hip. She's like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay, question. When Callie's getting all those medical tests done because she's nervous, don't those all cost money?
They should.
Does it not matter because she works there and is holding this OB hostage?
I don't know. Like, I would imagine, I mean, doctors still have insurance.
Right.
So it's all getting billed to her insurance. She's very scared. Callie is very, very scared.
Which I, She says, this was the part that got me. She goes, I am a hormone casserole. My body is not my own and something feels wrong in my metaphorical gut. Because yeah. she's like, in my gut. He's like your abdomen. She's like, my metaphorical yeah. gut. But I wrote, she's such a good actress too. Oh, and then she said, what if I do something and it messes the baby up?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I get that anxiety. Like,
I imagine that would be what a lot of people would feel like when they got pregnant.
Yeah.
And wanting it very badly.
And like scared to do anything.
Yeah. And she was bleeding, right? That's why she went in there.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just such a really good vulnerable moment. Because she also says like everything in my life is difficult.
Yeah.
Like,
and everything sucks and doesn't work out.
And it's true. I mean, like look at her past. Like she's
and then
crazy-
look at the musical episode is coming up where she gets in it. Yeah.
Oh God. She's not even. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, yes. I love the line, Lucy says, no intercourse.
Oh yeah.
Arizona says, sing it, which is really funny.
Wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wrote that too. I couldn't remember who says that. That's
yeah.
Nope, tampons, no intercourse.
Sing it. Which is really funny.
It is. She has a heartbeat. There's a heartbeat.
Yeah, so they're all very happy. But then Mark has to tell Lexi.
Yeah, which he's having dinner. Like at first, he's like, I'm going to get my home-cooked meal first.
Yeah, okay,
but he
Mark.
Can't. She's so happy too, and she's like cooking and using spices.
Yeah, and like, he's like, Callie's pregnant. And she's like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Like,
and then you see her face when you, yeah. yeah. And I love, the only thing she says, I said, Lexi's face is so sad. And she says, how the hell did you get me in this position twice? And then she leaves.
I know, and I wrote, that's it for them. Like, that is it.
Oh, that was their last happy moment. Before.
That's it. Before they.
Is the plane crash this season?
No, it's season 8.
So they just aren't together?
They aren't together.
Ugh. Do they have longing looks?
I think so, yeah. Okay. But that's it.
Fuck.
Isn't that sad?
I can't believe we have a whole season of them not together.
I know. Wanting to be together.
She's gonna be with Jackson though, right?
Yeah.
And that's then isn't Jackson do plastics? And
yeah,
working
and then they
Fuck.
Break up. Yeah. It's gonna be hard.
Luckily Mark will have a child to like be distracted by.
Yeah, but I think, well, and then he ends up dating someone.
Yeah. Fuck.
And then they die.
Yeah. Anyway. This sucks. That you're right. We should have honored this episode.
Yeah, but.
Here it goes.
Well, and they weren't together that long. They weren't, like, when they got back together. It was, like, 2 episodes, 2 or 3.
Yeah. Damn.
I know.
I can't believe we care about them so much when they barely
I know. That's
happy.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. I also thought it was really cute. Arizona says right before that scene with Mark and Lexi. To Callie, she goes, that's my baby in there and I don't want anything to happen to my baby. And
yeah.
it's really cute to hear her say my.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really precious. I love it. Okay.
So then the whole next episode is like Mark and Arizona like controlling the shit.
Give Callie an Emmy though for her acting in this one.
Dude, yeah. Right in the beginning, I was like, I don't really like Arizona telling her what she has to do in regards
yeah.
to eating and drinking on her pregnancy. I was like, she's allowed to have a cup of coffee. Let right. her have the damn coffee.
Right.
Like, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, you're trying to make sure that your partner is making healthy choices while she's pregnant. But it's not like she's fucking drinking alcohol.
Right.
She's like, a cup of coffee.
And a peanut butter
sandwich.
Which is like, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little controlling factor was a little alarming to
yeah.
me as well.
Yeah.
I also love that when they're talking about the test, I said I would not want Arizona as my spouse while I'm pregnant. And then I go, although I can see myself doing the same thing Arizona is doing. Like if I'm not the pregnant one, thinking
yeah.
that I know best, even
mm-hmm.
though I don't. But okay, so then, because they're talking about something that showed caffeine was actually bad or whatever, some trial. And
yeah.
Callie goes, it was like with rats. And she goes, I'm not a rat. And like, I just loved that she says that.
I love that Callie's just so irritated. And she looks at Kepner and she's like, Kepner, I need you to speak differently.
and then
Kepner says, like with an accent?
See, that's what I mean. This episode was funny.
Yeah, Callie was really funny in this episode.
And then later when the video thing is happening, they're like, Kepner, talk to the camera. And she's like I normally talk. Like she has another moment. And it's true. As soon as she starts talking, she's like, Mr. So-and-so had a, like, it is just so up there.
During that scene where she's like, I need you to talk differently. And she's like, doesn't really get it. And she's like, all right, I need you to go get me a coffee and a muffin.
Oh, yeah.
And then Callie goes back and forth, back and forth. And then she's like, no coffee. And then April's like, but do you still want the muffin? She's like, yeah. Like, fucking idiot. Which is so funny because it's not obvious at all, but she's just so mean to April.
She's hormonally raging, it's and so I love funny. It. It's like just unhinged and beautiful. I just love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's the video thing. I also just said, Callie advocating for her body independence while popping a hip is the funniest thing I've ever seen. She really needs caffeine. And I love that it's Owen that's like, get her a caffeine now. She's deprived.
Yeah. And
she's then like, thank you.
April's like, you're pregnant. She's like, shut up.
Yeah, she's just out of control in the best way.
And then she comes home and the way she drops into that chair, like,
and then her speech.
Yeah. And telling Mark that, like, and the baby wants a foot rub. And Mark's like, I'll go get the lotion. Like, so uncomfortable with what just happened.
I just love that she goes, as I house the baby, I will get a vote for him or her and a vagina vote. So she essentially gets three votes. So no matter what, she wins.
She gets to do what she wants.
I'm going to use that reasoning if I ever
am
in a threesome and then I get pregnant.
Yeah. So. It's perfect.
It was just a great moment for her. I love her, like, wanting pregnancy so bad, and now she's in it, and she's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And I loved the word a casserole or hormonal casserole.
That's great.
I'm going to use that from now on as a way to describe how I'm feeling.
I'm going to give my vagina a vote always.
Especially in this next election.
Do we have, like, random notes?
I do have some. Is that okay?
Yes, I do as well. Okay. I have Derek calling the roommates the kids. It's very cute.
The kids are not home yet. Yeah, that's perfect. I had when they're doing the putting the medicine in the brain that it's like the dentist but worse because it's your brain, like the sounds awake. I just
I did have having your head drilled while being awake sounds absolutely terrifying.
Yep. I also have Bailey is having a milkshake and she just goes, Chief, this is my milkshake time. And he was like, there is no milkshake time. She just is perfect. Like Bailey is perfect. Okay, I have. Have you seen the movie Sophie's Choice?
No.
Me either. They referenced it and I didn't get the joke.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Great. Perfect. And then I loved the line. So Jackson starts working with Mark in plastics, which is where he ends up, right? Okay. So that's kind of cool to see. Because I also feel like Jackson has had zero footing.
Yeah.
He's like not doing well. But Mark says to him, you're genetically blessed. Speaking from personal experience, that will help you with plastics. And then Jackson's all like pouty about it. And he goes, poor Mr. Green Eyes. Let's not pretend being beautiful is a burden, which I just think is perfect. He says it's better than a billboard. Okay, did you see when they were doing that operation on that nose? If you didn't, I'm going to be a little mad because it was violent.
No, I don't think I did.
That whole conversation, Mark and Jackson, when they're operating, they're hammering into someone's nose. Like first they take a drill and it's up the things and it's like, go, and it's showing the face, like the whole scene. And then Mark is holding like a piece of like a tube and Jackson just keeps hammering it and it's literally into the nose.
Isn't that how you do a nose job?
I think so, but I think it was like comical that they were like talking about these light things, but they just showed so much of the surgery. I have like 8 notes on it.
I don't think I was paying attention to that.
I was like, please stop. Why is this? Like, I was just like, I can't look at this.
Please, no more.
I don't like nose or teeth things. Like when they show the gums. Ugh, it's too much. I feel like Mark is a little patronizing about Lexi. Like how he talks to Jackson about her.
Yeah, I totally agree.
He like babies her, but in a way that doesn't give her like a say. He's always kind of done that.
I didn't like the scene where Arizona, where like Callie was like about to drink a coffee and then Arizona like shook her head at her.
You
and
can
like
do what you want.
Yeah, and like shamed her. But I was like, what? Stop it.
And Teddy's like watching that.
Yeah.
And makes
it. Teddy too was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It was weird. I also liked when, this is the Thatcher thing I forgot to say, Mark, Lexi's mad at Meredith for not hating him. And she goes, hate him with me. And like, that's, I feel like such a friend thing or sister when you like want them to have the same opinion as you. And then, I just wrote, is this when Jackson starts to like her? But it clearly is. Because he doesn't share with Mark what she's upset about.
Yes, because she's upset about
being
Mark
behind.
Yeah, leaving her behind.
Do you think if Jackson would have told him that, that would have given Mark any sort of insight Or do you think they're doomed from the start?
I think they're doomed from the start because I don't think Lexi wants to be a part. She doesn't want to be a mom. She doesn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Owen and Christina. Like Christina didn't want kids.
Yeah. I think like Mark could have tried to be like, I'm not leaving you behind or whatever. But at the end of the day, like Mark wants a child and Lexi doesn't at this point. So.
I do think it's kind of shady that he withholds, but it's also shady that Mark is making him dig for information. So
yeah,
I do like that he uses the candy in the perfect, like it works exactly like how Mark said, like if you put candy in front of her,
yeah, she's just like, yeah.
That's all I have.
Samesies.
Okay. Do you want to do a notes and trivia?
Yeah. You can go first if you want.
Okay. Don't Deceive Me. This episode's title originated from the song Don't Deceive Me, Please Don't Go, originally sung by James Brown. The episode scored 11.18 million viewers. If you look carefully at the phone Lexi holds during the scene where Chief gets a message from a former student, you can see that it is actually her lines. Ooh, that's fun.
Oh, huh.
It's the first episode to be directed by Kevin McKidd, the actor who portrays Owen. He was very nervous and barely slept throughout the weeks of preparing and filming. The day before filming began, Patrick Dempsey called Kevin to assure him he would follow every direction with no questions asked, which he did.
Oh.
Mark and Lexi's last kiss was in this episode, marking the end of their relationship.
Told ya.
Does he kiss her when she's dead?
Probably not. Maybe, but we don't see it, I don't think.
She's trapped under the plane.
Yeah.
He's not trapped?
No.
How'd he die?
He dies from like internal something.
He didn't know he was hurt.
He goes into a coma and then some other shit. I don't know.
All right, go for it.
PYT Pretty Young Thing. This episode title originated from the song originally sung by Michael Jackson. This episode scored 10.47 million viewers. And at the beginning of the episode, Christina related the two medical trials Meredith was offered to help with. To Sophie's Choice, Peter McNichol, who plays Dr. Robert Stark, was one of the three main actors in that movie.
Hmm, interesting.
And, okay.
Okay, the Catherine Fox Award.
Yes.
Who should we give it to?
Ooh, that's hard.
Callie? For just like being pregnant and advocating for her own body. I feel like Callie's a great vote. I also... I feel like I'm going to have to say Callie. Otherwise, Meredith, I think for diving into a trial that is probably very emotional, but doing a really good job at it.
Yeah.
Those would be my two votes.
I'm going to give it to Callie.
Okay, perfect.
Because she doesn't get it very often.
That's true. That's very true. And then rating it. So I don't know why I laughed. The first episode, I was like, meh. The second one, I laughed a lot. I'm feeling optimistic tonight, and I enjoyed it and would watch that episode again, so I'm giving it like a 7.5.
Great.
Or an 8.
An 8? Wow.
So, I don't know. I really laughed.
That's great.
I'm giving it an 8.
I'm giving it a 6, Scalpels. Okay. I just like was not – I felt like they were very much like filler episodes, and so.
That's fine. Our average is 7.
Great. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Do you have anything else you want
to... No, happy to be back.
Happy to have you. Do you want to call Time of Death?
Sure. I will when I do the math. It is Time of Death 2146.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of... Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.